Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I am so glad that you're with us today. We are talking about living with your spiritual armor under this entire series of Living with the Power of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be a great conversation. And I want to thank you for being here. 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. And you can find out all about us by just going to our website, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. And I want to jump right into this. And let me just say, I heard this phrase used in a meeting I was going into a few weeks ago. Let's transition from getting here to being here. Let's transition from getting here to being here. So just take a deep breath and clear out all the clutter, because I want to continue to talk about this spiritual armor thing, which we've already spent a couple of shows on. And you can go to our website, 721ministries.org, and pick up old radio shows and catch up with what we're doing or follow along with what we're doing. But I want to sort of reset the table. The full armor of God we're talking about under the governing theme of living with the power of the Holy Spirit. Living with the power of the Holy Spirit and the full armor of God. I want to reset the table on this because I just want to make sure we're all aware. When Paul writes in Ephesians 6:10, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." That's his Holy Spirit mighty power in you. In verse 11, "Put on the full armor of God." And the reason you put on the full armor of God, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And that's what I want to just take a couple of minutes and sort of reset the table against the devil's schemes. Because Paul continues to write, as God speaks through him, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil all around us in the heavenly realms." You see, I've read through Ephesians 100 times, and each time I would come to this full armor of God part, I just sort of skimmed through it. I couldn't get any traction with it. I was numb to whatever the Father was saying. And then I go on this Christian tour, and we go around Italy looking at the first century context in which Paul was writing. We get to Rome. I'm with this teacher from Florida, Dr. Randy Smith, who is just fantastic, in Sebring, Florida. And he starts talking about the spiritual armor of God. We're in this room right next to the Tiber River, very close to where Paul would have been living when he was in his first imprisonment in Rome, the two-year, what they call, light chain, where he was free to move about and work and could receive visitors, but he had a Roman centurion with him all the time. And as I listened to Dr. Randy really expound on this and speak about it, I realized that my numbness to all of this was just plain dumbness, really, because there's so much there, so rich. So as we continue to explore living with the power of the Holy Spirit, let's see what this spiritual armor thing is all about and how it fits in with the Holy Spirit power. Because remember, Paul is sitting there, and he's got this Roman centurion next to him. And as he's writing Ephesians, this thought, I just imagine, pops into his head. You know, I can't help but notice all this armor that these centurions wear. And he probably thought, you know, Paul thought, you know, soldiers put on armor when they are facing an enemy. They don't walk around with armor day to day. When they know they've got an enemy, they put on their armor. And they're very careful to put on armor where they know they're most vulnerable. And we Christians, Paul must have been thinking, we have an enemy too. And he is constantly on the attack. We need to be aware of Satan's schemes. He is constantly employing his 3D scheme strategy. Distract, destroy, distract, discourage. Destroy, distract, discourage. If he can keep you out of a relationship with Christ, he destroys your soul. That's his main ambition. That's his main goal. If he loses that, he'll seek the rest of your life to distract you and discourage you. And you think about that. The next time you get frayed at the edges, the next time you feel harried, the next time things are confusing, you're just being distracted. And the next time you feel discouraged, that's not your Heavenly Father. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We always have the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're discouraged, it's Satan jumping on you. But I think Paul probably continued, you know, we don't need to run from Satan, and we don't need to fear him, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. That's right, you see. Now, I've said this before. With the promised Holy Spirit living in you, You, my friend, you listening to me today, you are more powerful than Satan. And I'm not trying to tee up each of us so that Satan can attack us. We don't get pride with that, but we want to understand that, live with confidence. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's a crazy concept. I recognize that, but it's true. We don't need to run or cower in fear from our enemy, the Satan, but we want to be aware of his schemes. See, we always want to be aware of them. As I said, I don't walk around my house in fear of the electricity in my house, but I don't stick my finger in the outlets either. So God encourages us through Paul to stand firm with the power of the Holy Spirit. As we read, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's the Holy Spirit within you. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. Take your stand. When I hear that word stand, it just comes back to someone who is solid in their footing. As Paul wrote in his prayer later in Ephesians, he said, I pray that you be rooted and established in love, that you stand. You know, Isaiah 40, 31 says, those who put their hope in the Lord will soar like wings with eagles, will run and not grow weary, will walk and not grow faint. And I would add, and stand and not be moved. See, because Jesus also warns us about Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He's always lying to you. So as Paul begins his thought on the spiritual armor, he notices this centurion's got a belt on. And in the belt, he's got this very firm piece of leather that hangs down in front of his most vulnerable area. If you're a man, I don't need to explain any more than that. But he's got this on, and Paul is thinking, you know, truth is our most vulnerable area as well. I mean, there's no truth being told in this culture. Public figures, politicians, entertainers, even some preachers are spinning, manipulating, and out-and-out lying. The movies, TV, newspapers, forget it. News outlets, they're hell-bent, and I use that purposely, on presenting their own version of the truth, which changes according to suit their agenda. And the common theme with all of them is always, truth is relative, and truth is evolving and fluid concept. Doesn't it, just by the way, doesn't it feel at times like we've lost the battle and the lunatics are running the asylum? I mean, TV, the media, they're so lost, and yet they're running our culture. And it's always about truth is evolving. And that's not true. That's a lie from Satan. But that's nothing new. Pilate got the ball rolling 2,000 years ago when Jesus said to him, when they were in that confrontation, and for this, Jesus said, I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. To which Pilate jeered, just scoffed, what is truth? What is truth? And I'm sure Pilate wanted to say, I'm truth. I'm truth, by the way, Jesus, in case you didn't know. What I say is true. So I ask you as you listen today, what is truth? And where are you going to find it? Because you will not find it in this culture. You will not find it on TV or in movies or anything around you. There's no truth in this culture anymore. You'll find it only through the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. And he also promises, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, we need to be set free from all of Satan's lies, that he has got this culture on cruise control. You know, he first spun that truth, he spun it so masterfully with Adam and Eve when he planted just a seed of doubt about God's integrity and his intentions. Back in Genesis 3, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals. Oh, he's crafty. And the Lord God had made. And he said, the serpent said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say that? And he's been at it ever since. He has our culture on cruise control. And we're spiraling further and further away from any sense of absolute truth. We're spiraling further and further away from any sense of absolute truth and into the abyss of everything is relative, or truth is fluid and truth is an evolving concept. But Jesus comes in and he counters this nonsense, this cultural nonsense, with his promise to set us free if you hold my teachings, if you embrace what I'm saying to you, if you let it move throughout your life, if you absorb it and appropriate it and then live it, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Because Jesus is truth, the truth, the truth. It's absolute and it's absolutely freeing. And when we focus on Jesus, we are set free from the illusions of this culture. The culture is all about illusions. And for men, the primary illusion is you are what you do and what you earn. Your worth is found in what you do and what you earn. Now, for many women, they work in the workplace, that might be the same. But for many women, I think the primary illusion might be you are how you look. Your worth is tied into how you look. Or your worth is tied into how your children look and how they perform. Now, oh sure, Satan's got plenty more illusions. And they're all about distracting you and discouraging you. Imagine Jesus, Satan saying this to you, look at that, or look at him, or look at her. You need that to be happy. You need him. You need her to be happy. If you can live in that, if you can drive that, if you can wear that, if you can do that, if you can go there, that'll make you happy. Those kind of illusions are everywhere around us. Or he might say, look at you. You're so fabulous. Or he may say, look at you. You're such a failure and a fake. We need the belt of truth to cut through the clutter of this culture. We need to be able to see what really is the truth. There lies all around you. Jesus is the absolute truth. He is the way to it. And we need to see that with our spiritual armor, the belt of truth. Let's talk more about that in the second half of the show. This is Sam Hunter, 721 Live. I'll be right back. More straight ahead. Welcome back to the second half of 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad you're with us. We are talking about the spiritual armor. And we were just mentioning all the clutter, all the illusions that are out there in our culture. It's so difficult to cut through all that, to see the truth, to see what's really important. When I think back to my real estate development days when I was younger and just getting started, just moved to Greenville, and I was experiencing some fairly good success early on, and my picture was in the paper all the time, and I was doing this development and I was having this achievement and all, and I thought that was so great. I thought that was just so great. And now, just the other day, I was moving some stuff around and opened up a box and I saw these newspaper articles with me and these announcements and that, and it, I mean, it's okay. There's nothing evil about it. It's just such nonsense. In the scheme of things, it means nothing. All those things, they mean nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ, to having that deeper relationship. And it reminds me of all these illusions, how Paul was very similar. You know, when you truly cut through all the clutter and the glitter of the culture, we see all this human pride and all of our achievements and how important they are. Philippians 3:4, Paul says, now, if you want to talk about human achievement, if you want to talk about a resume, listen to mine. If anyone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more, he says. Here's my resume. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, that's the tribe that Saul came from, the first king of Israel, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. I was the squeaky cleanest of them all. As for zeal, I persecuted the church at the beginning. That's the kind of Pharisee I was. That's the kind of religious, perfect guy I was. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. That's my resume. But, he says in verse 7, Philippians 3, but whatever was to my gain, I now consider it a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to, not that it's a loss in the scheme of things, having success, achieving worldly things, that's not a total loss. There's nothing wrong with that unless it's your master, which it is for most all of us, but compared to knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all those things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Now imagine being that person. Imagine if you, listening to me today, had the clarity to see the truth, that that's the reality. That's truth, and all the other stuff is just, as Solomon said as he looked back over the end of his life in Ecclesiastes, it's meaningless. It's just chasing after the wind. What would your life look like if you could, with the Holy Spirit power, the energy, the clarity that comes from the Holy Spirit power, if you could cut through all the clutter and the glitter of the culture and of Satan to see what's really important? Imagine how much less stress you would have. Imagine how much less conflict you would have. Imagine the harmony in your life, the harmony in your relationships. If you could cut through the clutter and say, "That's none of that's really important. What's important is I get closer to you, Christ, you, Jesus." And then, you know, you actually said, because he's the greatest friend and the greatest Lord you could ever hope, he said, "You do that and I'll take care of you. I'll give you the desires of your heart." Imagine that. When I think about what it's like for you out there in this culture, you know, I've sort of retreated a little bit from it doing 721 Ministries. I'm not out there fighting it like you guys are fighting it. I don't sit in the house wearing sandals all day long by any stretch, but I'm not out in that world as much as I was for 25 years. I know it. I remember it. But I think about the jungle of illusions out there and how extraordinarily difficult it is to see through all that. It's almost impossible. It's just crazy. You need the Holy Spirit to let you see truth. A missionary friend of mine, he would go to the Amazon most of each year. He once told me about moving through the Amazon jungle with a group of fellow missionaries. And they got word that there was a renegade tribe of warriors coming to kill them. So they moved well off the path. They had a guide, and they moved well off the path, deep into the surrounding jungle. And as he was explaining it to me, he said, "It was just a miracle that the warriors didn't see us, didn't get us. So now we're safe," he said, "but we're hopelessly lost. And we look around, and all we see is jungle, underbrush." And one man cried out, "How will we ever find our way out of this? How will we ever find our way out of this jungle?" And the guide pulled out his machete, my friend said, and started hacking away at the underbrush. And he said, "Get behind me and follow me. I am the way out." That gives me chills. I am the way out. And that's what Jesus says to us. He promises freedom from all the confusion of Satan and the culture. And he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he's saying to you and to me, "I'm the way and the only way. Through the glitter and the clutter and the confusion of this culture and of Satan's schemes, I'm the only and I'm the absolute truth. And when you hold to my truth and use it as armor to protect you, you'll be free. You'll be set free to live the life that is truly life." So every morning when you get out of bed, before you get out of bed, say, "Lord, Father, today I need the Holy Spirit power to see the truth, to know the truth, and filter out all the nonsense around me so that I can live the truth and make the right choices," which is how we finished up last week's show, making the right choices. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. The breastplate of right choices is a good way to think of that. So let me just ask you, as we did previously, what if I asked you to write down the three or four most important things in your life? Or, if I put it another way, what do you think you will wish you had made more of a priority as you one day look back over your life? Three or four top things. And most of you would respond with something like this: relationship with God, relationship with my spouse, relationship with my children. They would filter into the top three or four or five. And those are good answers. But what if I followed you around? What if I followed you today or last week? Would the way you spend your time and your energy look anything like this? I doubt it. I doubt it very seriously. Your time is typically spent, not invested, spent on a lot of good things, but not the best, because you're not making right choices. What if the Lord said to you, I want you to spend 1 hour a day with me, 1 hour with me. I want you to spend 1 hour with your spouse, and I want you to spend 1 hour with your kids, not 1 hour per, but 1 hour with your kids. And let me add, the Lord might say, I want you to spend 1 hour exercising, because your body is my temple, and I want you to be healthy. What if he said that to you? What would be your response? There's no chance, would be your response. There's not enough time in the day. 1 hour with the Lord, 1 hour with my wife, 1 hour with my husband, 1 hour with my kids, 1 hour in exercise, that's not enough time in the day. And what if he doubled down and said, and I want you to get 8 hours of sleep, because you need the exercise and you need the sleep so that you can be your best, so that you can really live out the life I want for you. What if he said that? You'd say, well, now that is absolutely ridiculous. But let me just challenge you on that. Because you're making a lot of choices for good things that aren't the best. And remember, whenever you say yes to something, you've got to say no to something else. And you typically say yes to things without thinking them through, without asking for the truth from the Lord. And then you end up saying no to the best things, that time with the Lord, that time with your family, that time with your wife or your husband, that time exercising, that time sleeping. So 1 hour with the Lord, 1 hour with your wife or husband, 1 hour with your kids, 1 hour exercise, 8 hours of sleep. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. That's 12 hours out of a 24-hour day, let me remind you. And what if I gave you 10 hours to leave your house and come back and work and do whatever it is that constitutes work for you that day? That's 7:30 to 5:30. That's enough time to get everything done, isn't it? Well, let me just point out to you that we've just taken 22 hours out of the day. You still got 2 hours to do whatever you want to do. But you're not making right choices. And see, we do what's important, but this world is coming at us so fast and so furious with all these noise and distractions and all kind of decisions to be made right in the middle of it. And how are you going to see through all that to make the right choices? Or do you repeatedly find yourself wondering, why did I agree to do this? Why did I or my children get involved in this? What was I thinking? Hint, you weren't thinking. Or you might say, what was I thinking when I did this stupid thing, this sinful thing, this stupid thing? And the same hint is there. You weren't thinking. You weren't asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to help you make right choices, because life is coming at you too fast. You know, when a young athlete enters college sports, the commentators often say the game's just too fast for him or her. And it happens again when they get into the pros, but eventually, you'll hear the commentators say, you know what, the game is slowing down for them now. They can see what's happening on the field. They can see what's happening on the court. And it's no different for you and me, for me out there in the culture. If you could see the never-ending supply of invitations, opportunities, and pressures, and all choices, and see them in slow motion, and therefore see them in the clear light of truth with the breastplate of right choices, you could avoid so many of the less than the best choices that you make. And by slowing down with the Holy Spirit clarity and power, you could avoid many of the mistakes and the out-and-out sins that you commit. But how will you do that? You're going to have to ask and put on your spiritual armor, the power of the Holy Spirit, to help you see with clarity what is truth, what is real. Let me just finish with this. And in the next show, we're going to start talking about the gospel of peace. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man, let me just say this in a different way. A thinking man or woman, one who puts on his belt of truth each morning by asking the Father for the power of the Holy Spirit to see truth so that with that kind of clarity they can make right choices, they see things in front of them that could be dangerous, and they take refuge. They slow down. But the simple, the one who's not thinking, the one who's caught up in the culture, the one who's just saying yes to everything, keeps going and suffers for it, and so does their family. The full armor of the Lord, the belt of truth, the breastplate of right choices, next show, the gospel of peace, the cleats that we put on our feet to hold us firmly in our standing with the Lord, a child of God, a daughter or son of the living King. I'm Sam Hunter. Stay tuned for next week. This is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.